that's good news. That love is bubbling over in my heart and in our hearts. We're delighted that God has watched over us and blessed us with life, health, and strength, and the wisdom of mind to come together that we might worship Him in spirit and in truth. God has watched over us. There are those who have gone on, even in this past week, called off the scene of time into eternity. We're delighted to have with us y'all, and included in the y'all is a young man by the name of Richards, Adrian Richards, all the way from across the water, San Juan, I believe it is, all the way from San Juan. He's the guest speaker today. You didn't know that yesterday, did you? Praise the Lord. See what happens? See all the good blessings you receive when you come to the house of God? And we're delighted to have those who are visiting with us from the city. And also we have a visitor from New York City. And I'm sure he's glad to get out of the hustle and bustle and come to a lovely place like Richmond, Virginia. Praise the Lord. Baptized this morning into the family of God. Sister Tonaya, did I do it right? Sister Tonaya Crew. Stand up for these late folk who came in late. We'll see who our newest sister is. Amen. Thank you, Tonaya. And mom and dad, they're already in the body of Christ. And we're going to talk more about Tonaya after the lesson this morning. Also, we will talk more about Brother Richards and the work that he's doing overseas. And we have a letter from him to share with you. But first of all, we have a letter from Glory Land. So we want to hear that about that letter first. So we ask your kind and undivided attention as Brother Adrian Richards, come and share with us words from God's holy and divine word. And may we endeavor to live by them. We must understand, we are forever creatures, human beings. We will live forever, but not here. There's another place called eternity. And God has a place for those who obey His will and those who He knows He's going to have trouble with. Be in the number of those who have heard His word, believed it, received it, and obeyed it, as this young lady did today, as the preacher comes forward and shares words with us from God's sacred oracular. Make up your mind. Whatever the Bible says, I'm going to do that. You fight on. Can we have that, brothers?
You fight on, you fight on, you fight on, will you fight on? Keep your hand in God's hand, you fight on, will you fight on? You fight on, you fight on, you fight on, will you fight on? Keep your hand in God's hand. You fight on, will you fight on?
Good morning. My brothers and sisters. First of all, I must say thank God, who has been with us and has brought me safely here to be with you. You know, we have taken things for granted, but we got to thank God. You know, my lesson today is entitled Navigate or Navigation. But I want to share some things with you and then ride right into the lesson. Is that all right? Now, here's what I want to share with you. Now, two hurricanes came and devastated that part of the world. And if I tell you right now, the people, most of them are still suffering, especially in Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico had been battered severely. Well, right now they're still without power. I had participated in some of it. Could you imagine being without power day and night, night and day, 90 degree heat? No air condition, no fan, and without proper drinking water? You know, I believe we just begin to understand what matters. We didn't before. What we taught before, what matters, what just to be a nice Christian, be friendly, worship God and go back home, and then come back the next time and go back. We taught that that was all that matters, but it's more than that. I cannot describe to you the suffering of the people so you would understand. You got to come and see it yourself. You know, when I decided to go to Puerto Rico, I didn't just jump haphazardly and run to Puerto Rico. I don't do things like that. I waited and walked for 2 years before I accepted their invitation to come. 2 long years. And I was helping out and doing what I can in St. Croix. But then after I discovered St. Croix could hold its own, I decided to go to Puerto Rico. And when you talk about going to Puerto Rico, you talk about speaking 2 languages, Spanish and English. You must speak Spanish if you're going to be in Puerto Rico any length of time. Well, if you go as a visitor, you might be able to tell them good morning, buenos dias or buenas noches. But if you're going to live there and try to preach the gospel, you ought to do more than that. Because it's a Latin American country. When I try to peruse the evening news, I get more Spanish stations than ever. Spanish, Spanish, all the way. When I try to look at the news and television, I mean, you're outnumbered by Spanish coming in from Venezuela, Cuba, Costa Rica, Puerto Rico, and all over the place. When I go to the shopping center to get some food, you see things from Paraguay, El Salvador, and now and then you see made in the United States of America. And you have to deal with that. Whenever we go out to teach the people, you have to speak 2 languages. So what I learned is, over the years I researched, and I would walk with something like this. And I would ask them, what's this? They would say, pang, el pang. Pang means bread. And this is a slice of bread. And you get the people to participate, you see? Because you're going down there early. You just don't go there and say John 3:16. You're getting them to participate and understand what's going down here. So after they said this is pang, I read the scripture in Spanish that says, Jesus said he is the bread of life. Amen. You see that? And when we are finished, they would applaud. Hermano Adrian, mucho gracias para usted. It means, Brother Richard, thank God for you. Thank you. Mucho gracias, hermano Adrian. Usted predicar el evangelio de Jesucristo. Mucho gracias. You are preaching the gospel of Christ. Thank you. But coming back to the devastation, the people thought that the federal government did not look after them properly. That's what I think, that's what they say. And although they are American citizens, they feel treated as second-class citizens. That's the way they feel. And up to now, at this hour, as we speak, things are still bad down there. They have been asking me, Brother Richards, could you get some help? Well, I try to negotiate help. There are people who call me. And in turn, I call the secretary. She is a Puerto Rican. She was born in Puerto Rico, but she have family came from out of Puerto Rico. So she is bilingual. And she is the secretary. And when the brother called from one of the states here in the U.S., he said, we are seeing another hurricane coming, and we have people lined up all over the United States to help you cope with it and to send funds if you need money or whatever. We're going to help you. Up to now, nothing. And we wonder if we are in the same church, the Church of Christ. I remember Brother Franklin Florence. Most of you know him from the New York area. He is one of the best preachers that I've heard preach on money, giving. He said, in our fellowship in the churches of Christ, that's not what I said, that's what he said. He said, we are long on talk, but short on money. When it comes to money, we back away. And we scratch our heads, brother, we're going to help you. And we never lift a finger to do a thing. That's what he said. He said it's tough in our fellowship. And he even cited the Mormons. They don't have the truth, but he said they give better than we give in churches of Christ. And I was saying, this is an opportunity for you. Right here, and may God bless you. And I hope you take this opportunity. And I want to say thank you to the leadership here for having me here with you. And we're going to have a great day today. Amen. With my presence with you. Because I learned over the years what matters. It's not whether I stumble or you stumble, but it's what God, is the way God looks on it. Now, I didn't come here to judge anyone, but I come here to share with you the facts and the truth and to wake us up. And here's why you need to participate in this. If each and every one of you here gave $1 per person every week to help the work in San Juan and that region, we would be able to carry on for years to come. And you, there are other congregations, sister congregations around, you could spread the news. I receive a recommendation from Brother Brangham. You could send those letters and tell them where I am, what we are doing over there, and let them send the funds through you. And you get it down there to us, you're going to see what happens. If you take that lead and that role, other churches will come and follow you. Not you follow them, but they follow you right here. And you would hear more about Brother and Sister Brown, the eldership and the deacons and the leadership and the Sandy Lane Church of Christ, just like you're hearing of Puerto Rico all over the world. Puerto Rico is on the map again. And they're all over the world. In Japan, you turn the Japanese station, you see the hurricane and they're talking about it. In China and all over the world, all over the globe, they're talking about the mess that is there right now. And the people starving to death. Still. Until now. Hurricane's not easy. I used to consult with Brother Andrew Solomon. All of you probably know Brother Solomon. From St. Lucia. And I would tell Brother Solomon, Brother Solomon, you know hurricanes, God have them to put minerals in the sea and to move warm weather from one part of the world to the next. But Brother Solomon said, hold on here, Brother Richards. I want to differ with you. Why do they come over the land then? There's no sea over the land. He said, you know what I believe? God is using San Juan and the areas around to warn all of us worldwide that he is in charge. And he is right. It's a warning to all of us to wake up and let us know what matters. And what matters is not my self-comfortness, but I got to be uncomfortable, because if you're going to make heaven your home, you have to suffer. Because Jesus suffered for us. And we are to suffer for him and with him. It's all over the scriptures, but we don't preach it. Because who want to suffer? We want to have our comfort and, you know, be in our comfort zone. Now, when I decided to go to San Juan, to Puerto Rico, I knew of the deficit that they had. Billions of dollars in deficit. And everyone I spoke to, they said, "Brother Richards, don't go." I said, "Oh yes, why? There's crime and you're going to be in the dark." Even before the hurricane made it worse. But I have been in the dark without the hurricane. Because every now and then there's power failures. They don't have the money to fix it. One time we were worshiping and just view. You just have to close down and go. And I knew all of that and the crimes. But I said, you know what? These are the people who are in need of the gospel now. And so we are there now. You see how God could work? After 2 years, we are there now preaching the gospel of the Son of God. Brother Brown will tell you later on more of what happened there. But it's coming on real well. We baptized one this morning, and we're baptizing them speaking Spanish and English in Puerto Rico as well. Amen. Glory be to God. And I didn't go there because of something I want to get out of it. I go there because I understand souls. We even bury one of the members not too long before I came up here. And it was a glorious thing. Where the Spanish speaking and the English came together. And they asked me to do the eulogy and all of that stuff. And it went real well. It went real well. And I begin to understand that life on earth is about one thing. I told you what the lesson is. We're going to ease right in it now. Right into the lesson. Life is about navigate or navigation. Life on earth, you have to navigate. And let me show you the physical navigation first, and then go to the spiritual one. Physical navigation. I remember, it's quite a long time now, we were going across the Chesapeake. And there's a long bridge. You may have driven there already. But it's very narrow. There's one span going this way and another going that way. They asked me to drive, but you could see me trembling like leaf, you know, leaves on the trees. And there are passengers. I had passengers. And they're talking to me. I'm just saying, yes, no, But I'm looking to navigate. I'm fighting with the road. When I look in my mirror, there's a whole line of cars behind me. I look towards me. There's cars, vehicles, trucks in front of me. And on the right, there's water. On the left, there's water. And if you mess up, a whole lot of people is going to go over in the water with you. And I said, boy, life is a tough thing. You have to be able to navigate properly here in this life. And sometimes we don't understand. Driver is driving and we're talking. We want him to respond to us and conversate like if we are home in the hallway talking normally. You can't do that. And if they answer us back, we get mad. We get mad with them. Well, I didn't answer them. I just said, yes, yeah. But I'm looking and I'm holding on to that thing for dear life. Because I know what it's going to be if you let go. And study the people around you. This is what the gospel of Christ is. Everybody say, well, why you ought to go to San Juan? Oh, yes. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Give up your comfort zone and go. Life is about navigating. You remember in Psalms chapter 8. And this is where we learn about navigate and our navigation. Psalms chapter 8, the whole psalm, but I wouldn't read all of it. Where he said, and whosoever passeth through the paths of the sea, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. You remember long ago, long ago, before the Panama Canal, if you're going to sail from the Pacific Ocean to get to the Atlantic, it was a long journey. Treacherous waves. And they had to navigate. Isn't that right? They had to navigate over those waves. Else the ship is going to go down. You can't be talking to the captain as you're going to say, hold on here, we have danger before us. And that ship is leaning this way. And that one 20-foot waves, and you got to be navigating properly. But now, after the coming of the Panama Canal, you come from the Pacific, and you just go through the canal, and you're in the Atlantic. Isn't it something? Because God had given man a part in it. Whosoever passed through the paths of the sea was the long way. But God said, I'm going to give you the wisdom to build a shortcut. The Panama Canal. Amen. You see how God is? The gospel. God asks us to share in the gospel. Because the gospel belongs to God. And when you hear this, say, this brother going here and going there, it is because God commanded it to be so. Now, we tell people about Jesus on the spiritual side. I'll be contrasting the physical and the spiritual. Every now and then, I'll give piece of the spiritual and part of the physical. Now, still on the physical. Now, well, if you're going to escape the wrath of a hurricane, you got to know from which direction it's coming. So you have the best place to hunker down. Now, they generally come from off the Horn of Africa, which is Ethiopia. And then they develop over the Atlantic Ocean. And the first, well, they come from the Cape Verde Islands off Africa. And the first island they will encounter coming this way, coming from east to north or west, is Barbados. The pilot who pilot the plane, they could fly from Barbados to Ethiopia over the Cape Verde Islands. See, you got to know these things to be able to navigate spiritually and physically as well. You know who made chart and compass? Is God. You remember? Chart and compass came from the Jesus Savior pilot me. Now, I would be afraid to travel on the roads here in the United States, but most of the time, if not all of the times, I'm not afraid to travel on the plane or the train. You know why? These people who pilot the plane, they are well schooled and trained. Isn't that right? They know they have their lives in their hands, as well as the lives of the passengers. And they want everyone to reach their destination safely. So safety is number one for them. But you know, when you talk about people on the road, they're not disciplined. I remember one time I saw the traffic backed up. And when you see red light, you are thinking, well, boy, there's an accident. Let me exit to get away from that. Isn't that right? But most of the time, it's not an accident. I saw a woman driver, trying to put on mascara and to put lipstick, but she's trying to drive and do both. Isn't there something? That's why I'm scared. But I'm not scared. That's one of the reasons why I'm scared. But I'm not scared to fly in the plane, because when the pilot comes along and he says, listen, passengers, I think the ride would be smooth today. And we'll be passing over certain things, and I will come back to you and I will let you know what is what. And when the flight attendant says to you, If you don't have what they're trying to tell you, if you don't have to go to the bathroom, don't stand in the aisle. Be seated and keep your fast belt, your seat belt fastened. Is that right? Yes, because I recently came up and they said that. Amen. Be seated and keep your seat belt fastened. Well, if I don't have to go to the bathroom, I'm seated and fastening my seat belt. I'm listening to them because they know what they're doing to save your life. But the people, some people get their license and they're not trained. Is that right? And you know what you got out there? You have a time bomb ticking in the light of driving a vehicle. It's worse than a drunk driver, some of them. So I'm afraid of that. But then when it comes to the train, the ship, and the plane, they are trained to navigate. Isn't that right? So we should be trained to navigate spiritually. And some of the things, as we train to navigate spiritually, we pick up some things along the way. Isn't that right? Yes. We get some experience picking up some things that we could do to help us to navigate spiritually effectively. Just as the pilot, the flight attendant, the pilot and co-pilot flight attendant, be seated. Here's one fella jump up. No, don't bother the pilot. I wanna be dropped off here. The pilot says to him, look, you're not going to make it, sir. It looking, oh, don't take it by it looks. The pilot is going to say to him, if we throw you out there as you want, or you maybe just jump out, you're not going to make it. We're going to have to give an account for you when we get there. I know one of these days, we all know it, Brother Brown, we know, he knows it. Brother Brown just told us one of these days we're going to fly away, isn't that right? But it ain't happened yet. So we don't want to be thrown out of the plane because we can't fly. To be able to fly, you have to fly in the plane. It's going to happen someday, but when? When Jesus comes again. He hasn't come yet. So I'm not trying to fly because I'm not designed to fly. Isn't that right? Makes sense? The plane is designed to fly. And since the plane is designed to fly, it will fly. With God's help and with the help of the good pilot and the flight attendant. Amen. So too in the spiritual life. Most of the time while we get into trouble with God is because we don't listen to God. Isn't that right? We have more faith in men than we have in God. Amen. Yes, we should show some faith in men, but our ultimate and all complete faith should be in God. Amen. Now here's another thing physically. You remember Magellan, who sailed around the earth? And he discovered that as people will tell us that the earth is spinning on an axis, he said, it's not so. Because Job, thousands of years before, said that God hung the earth upon nothing. You see, let me tell you all something. You have a lot of us are as unbelievers, you know. We're still unbelievers, claiming to be believers. Because God said in Isaiah 40 and verse 22 that the earth is round, long before Christopher Columbus. And people still didn't believe it, even till today. Some people don't believe it. So you have to be able to know about physical navigation to be able to navigate spiritually. Now, as we deal with navigation or navigate, you remember when Jesus was raised from the dead, Brother Brown? He did not come from the grave and show himself to the people just like that. He gave a little piece of clue here in the right, and a little here. The road to Emmaus, he showed up and you heard from that man. He really shook us up in the right when he disappeared. Why? Because the people were unbelievers. Those who talk about the resurrection to Jesus, They didn't believe Jesus was raised from the dead. And he came and upbraided them for the hardness of their heart. And he said unto them that these signs shall follow them that believe. Who are the them? The apostles. Who still didn't believe that he was raised from the dead. Even though he was given a little piece of clue here and a little piece of clue here of his resurrection, they still did not believe. Today we claim to believe God, but you know, I'm afraid we really don't believe in God. Because if church folk did believe in God, and somebody is out there struggling to preach the gospel of Christ, and they can't go themselves physically, they will send funds to help them to preach it. This gospel is so precious. Thank God for the gospel of Christ. It is so precious that we have taken for granted, well, Jesus died, so what? You remember the uncomfortableness of Jesus where he came and he says, fox got holes, but the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. It wasn't for himself, it was for you and me. You tell folk to contribute to help preach the gospel, so all right, but they never lift a finger to do a thing. So as we navigate through life, one of these days, you will pay. Because if you think you're doing something against me, you're making a sad mistake. You remember when Paul was persecuting the church? The Lord said, why are you persecuting me? Why? Where did Paul saw Jesus to persecute Christ? He was really doing against God's people. And when you kick and fight against God's people, you're doing it against Jesus himself. And they don't understand that. When people fail to get involved in preaching the gospel, they say, where are you going, brother? Well, to preach the gospel. Jesus said, go. It's suffering. For even here, unto all he called, Peter said, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. The Son of God. But we always want to have things, oh, if we not do it this way, oh no, we need to let loose and let be and put Jesus first. That's what it's all about. That's what navigation is all about. It's rough. I can tell you. I've been on ships already to take the gospel to other places. And I have seen waves higher than the roof. And when you are finished, when you get out of there, you are soaked with the water and the salt. You could taste the salt in your mouth. And if people knew what you had to go through to bring the gospel to them, they would be lined up all the way here to be baptized for remission of sins. And how precious and important it is to be obedient to the gospel. Amen. They don't know. So today we ought to know whom Jesus is. We don't. We think we know, but we don't. Now, there are times when we preach to people and we tell them that Jesus is the Savior of the world. But we have never said to them that Jesus is not only Savior, but he is Lord and Master. And you do what the Master says to do. Lord and Master. Master, you remember the apostles? Call him Master and want to know from the Master what they must do. So Jesus is not only our Savior, but he is our Lord and he is our Master. And we ought to do and listen to what he says we ought to do. But when we deviate from that, we are in trouble. Real trouble. And so we are on the path of an unbeliever than a believer. Now, as we look to bring it to a close, one of these days is going to be the judgment. You and me would stand before God. And is not what someone says, or how people think, we're going to be judged by. We're going to be judged according to our works. Isn't that right? Yes. Now, why I'm so concerned about this when there's a call to come to preach Jesus? And we're going to be in Puerto Rico for many, many years to come. And that part of the world. Because the rebuilding after two hurricanes is going to take years and years and years before they come back up to Mark. But if it seems to be a mountain, and we says, well, you know, it's too difficult. The easy thing to do is to give up. These people would be devastated three times. Because they are devastated by the physical hurricane, even till now. And they are devastated by, you are our evangelist, you're preaching and you're helping us, and you're gone and leave us. Three devastations. You see how important to stay and suffer with them? Because Christ suffered for us. We got to suffer with the people. We got to sit with them and suffer with them. And if, or since they are brethren in the brotherhood, making promises. We didn't call them. They called and said, we're going to help you. Up to now, the brethren down there haven't received a dime. And I haven't heard a thing from them. And this is where, so where you come in, you could be blessed along those lines. And it ain't going to cost you much to do it. $1 a member. This is to help brother. Every week, $1. You will see what would happen. Put it together. Ask our neighboring congregation. Because we're going to be there. You are sure that we're going to be there. Preaching the gospel of the Son of God and helping those people to recuperate and recover. This is the place to be now. The people are hunger. They're hungry for the gospel because they have seen what had happened. As I close, let me tell you. Right now, some of the people there are thinking that Brother Richards is a prophet. I ain't no prophet. I'm just a simple, humble human being. Now, why they may be thinking that now? When I got there in January, I informed through Brother Brown and two other brothers that I'm in San Juan, Puerto Rico. Brother Emil, calling from over there, that I'm in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And it took about 2 or 3 weeks, and they wrote it, written, that Brother Richards is taken on to be the evangelist for the Park Gardens Church of Christ. Even they called me a few days ago. You remember you are our evangelist, brother. They're reminding me, and you would be back here. Yes, I know that. No matter how long it takes, I'm going to be back. My word is my word. Isn't that right? Amen. But in January, when I got there, the roof of the building, they have a nice facility, but it leaks. So I told them, I said, look, we need to get together with the Spanish brethren and fix the roof. Amen. I'm housed upstairs, but there's water coming down. You roughen it. Sometimes you got to go rough. So if you want to accomplish preaching the gospel. I said, what if a category 4? It's January. I didn't know hurricane was going to come. I said, what if a category 4 comes through here and you brethren didn't get with the Spanish and fix the roof? You know what's going to happen? Well, more than a category 4 came. Amen. It's almost reached category 6. Because the first hurricane had winds of 185 miles an hour. They called me from here, over here in the States, and said, brother, you better find some way proper to shelter. Because it's going to be catastrophic. Over the first hurricane, 185 miles an hour. And I said, Lord, after I heard that, I said, Lord, help me. Help us. Could you let that thing pass a little way out and give Brother Richards a chance and give the people? And it did. You see, God answers prayer. How many of us believe that? If God didn't do it to Jesus, you probably wouldn't see me today. But God, let me tell you something and then I'm going to close. On Paul's first missionary journey, his very first, you remember he was stoned at Lystra? You remember that? And left for dead? He was dead. He was dead. Now, how do I know he was dead? I did a little research. And I found out that Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 1 through 3. He said, he knoweth that man, whether in the body, out of the body, God knows. But it was him 14 years ago. He was stoned over there, remember? And left for dead. He was dead. Because you don't go to paradise unless you die.
That's right.
And he said he was in paradise. Amen. So he was dead. And maybe the people who stoned him to death went back in the village and they said, we killed Paul. But his disciples stood around him, didn't know he was dead. Because there's a requirement to go to paradise, you must die. And Paul said, I was in paradise. And you know where he told us paradise is? In the third heaven. Isn't that wonderful? For you to know today where paradise is? In the third heaven. And there's where God is. In the third heaven. But he was dead. He was put to death. And he said, I count my life not dear unto me that I might win Christ. So it's not where the popularity is. People say, don't go, brother. Well, if I'm to be killed over there, all right. He that saveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake and the gospel shall find it. You know when my doctors and healthcare providers tell me, Brother Richards, there are certain illnesses, I would say to them, hold on, Royal, with all due respect, I'm in the hand of God. You're doing what you can to help me. But what you are predicting might never happen. I don't have to be here in the United States to die. I could be over there and die. And I told them, well, I'm ready to go anytime the Lord calls. Amen. That's the assurance we all should have. I'm ready to go. Because I have no animosity in my heart against no one. And I trying to practice what is right in my feeble way. But I'm ready to go anytime. But if the Lord kept me, and people say, well, hey, you're looking young. Well, glory be to God. You're keeping me young. Not the thing because of the medicine, but God. Yes, it helped, but the overall keeping of us, of our lives, is God Almighty. If you live and you believe in Him, you will never die. You remember that?
Amen.
We'll never die. So let's just cultivate in our heart and in our minds that we don't belong to ourselves. We belong to God. Everything that you got belongs to God. We are stewards. And let us use what God had blessed us with wisely for eternity. Lay not up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures where? In heaven. Set your affections not on things on the earth, but on things above. But we don't do that. We fight more things on the earth, and we get a heart attack, and we die, and we say, oh Lord. Set your affections on things above. Where we come and say, well, oh, how I love Jesus, and you're not setting your affections on things above, but on things on the earth. So in these hurricanes, I learned this lesson. That you have your pie and, you know, and your happy life, and just like that, it could be taken away from you. Either by you dying and leaving it, or some weather, some earthquake, something coming, and it's gone from you, and you realize, Lord, all I have is me. I have nothing left but me. So you ought to commit yourself and your lives to God Almighty. And the things that surround you, live as though you don't have anything. That is what is called navigating effectively. Great navigation. I told you in the beginning of my lesson that I don't trust these drivers on the road. But I'll be able to put my hands in the hands of God and fly and know that these pilots is going to risk their lives, put their lives together in getting himself and us safely by the good mercies of God. But when you are careless and you don't care, you do all these things by texting and driving, which is deadly and dangerous, you are not trained. You are not disciplined. That's what a disciple is about, a disciplined one. Are you the true disciplined disciple of Jesus? Now today, if you are coming, you got to come genuinely. Not just come and report, but really repent. If you're going to do something for the cause of Christ, do it. But we talk more than we do, isn't that right? Long and talk, but short and action. This is not what it's all about in making heaven our home. It's about if you lose your life, you're going to find it. But if you try saving your life, you're going to lose it. And lose it in hell. I don't want to go there. Now I could say I'm proud to be an American. But the devil's fall came by pride. Not proud, but by pride. And the major thing in the world today is willfulness and pride. Well, who is God to be God? Oh, yes. That's the devil. And the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Sometimes we become accused of others. When that is the devil's job, not you and me. So all of that must be brought under the control of Jesus. And then you would be able to see. And that's part of suffering. Because you are denying yourself. Isn't that right? If any man should come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. One was baptized all year on this morning. You could be baptized right now too. If you haven't done so. We come by faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. That's the first step. Then you must believe the things you hear. Jesus said, except you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Hebrews 11:6. It is impossible to please God if you don't believe. So belief comes through faith that God exists and that he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. Then you must repent. God called and men everywhere to repent. Then one must confess his faith in Christ. You heard the confession. I believe with all my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then the young lady was baptized into Christ. Just this past week, I was showing a prospect who I believe I had baptized up in Maryland shortly. Because you see, the job is not over simply because I'm here, not in Puerto Rico. There are souls here too, isn't that right? And they need to hear the gospel. I didn't just come over here for a holiday and just to run around and do nothing. I come over here, the people interested, you share with them the gospel. That's true belief. And that lady would be ready to be baptized shortly. For the remission of sins. And I demonstrate to her, this is how we do it. We ask, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we take them and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins. The lady said, I want to do it. I said, all right, we're going to make the arrangement. So when I go back, I hope we'd be able to do that. This is what our lives should be. A reflection of Jesus Christ. 24/7. Thank you for your patience. Let us stand and sing the song of invitation.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace?